the Lord. Amen. Well, thank you, Brother Ryan, for reminding me. There's been a number of us that have been going through the End Time Ministries material. There has been just a short break in that. But I would like to, there's none today because we have pastor's lunch right after. But next Sunday at 6 p.m. at my house, you're invited to come to a continuation of the End Time Ministries. If you'd like to join us, you're very welcome. Come and see me or my wife. I'll tell you how to get there. It's not too hard. Amen. So next Sunday, 6 p.m., End Time will start again. But not on Tuesday, on Sunday afternoon at my house. We were at my house a year ago, and then it kind of grew to where we couldn't fit in my house. And then it kind of shrunk down where I think we can fit in my house. And if it's all the same to you, I prefer my house over the fellowship hall. Amen. So, anyway, if it grows to where we can't fit in my house, we'll go back to the fellowship hall. But right now, my house. Next week, 6 p.m. Does that answer your question? Okay. Praise the Lord. I hope you'll come. Praise the Lord. Turn with me. Acts chapter 3 is where I'd like to begin to read. Acts chapter 3, beginning at verse number 1. Amen. Now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. And a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple. Who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked an alms. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, "Look on us." And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Then Peter said, "Silver and gold have I none." You know, at that very moment, he might have thought, "Oh, man, oh, no." But hold on. The story doesn't end there. Amen. Peter said, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." Amen. And he took him by the hand, by the right hand, and lifted him up. And immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. And he, leaping up, stood and walked, and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. Doesn't that put a picture in your mind? Isn't that a vivid description of what happened? I think it's awesome. Walking and leaping and praising God, and all the people saw him walking and praising God, and they knew that it was he which sat for alms at the beautiful gate of the temple. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at that which had happened unto him. My topic today is very, very simple. Divine joy. Amen. Divine joy. Would you pray with me? Lord, I love you. I thank you. We ask, Lord, even now that in the precious name of Jesus, Lord, that your joy would be within us, Lord, that even a divine joy that is beyond our own understanding, that is beyond this world, Lord, joy that comes from you. Lord, I pray that it would touch our lives, that we would experience this joy ourselves. Lord, that we would know and rejoice and have divine celebrations of joy in the name of Jesus. Lord, let your will be done, even here in our lives, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord. You may be seated. You start out, you read this story. And the lame man, the scriptures say that this guy from birth, from being born, this guy was lame. His whole life. You know, sometimes you kind of get used to the condition that you are in. I suppose this man got used to being lame. He got used to people bringing him to the temple so that he could gain some small token from whatever merciful person that would be walking into the church house, to the temple. Maybe, you know, he'd get some little piece of money. And if he sat there long enough, he would have enough money to eat that day. Perhaps to pay his rent or, you know, live. He got used to it. Crippled, not walking. He was on a road that seemed like it was a dead-end path. You know, there's people in our world today that get used to living the way that they live. They get used to dealing with what they are able to deal with. They get used, you perhaps, yourself. I know when we are living BC, before Christ, before I lived for God, before I knew Him, before I experienced the truth, before I received the Holy Ghost, my mindset was different. I got used to living that way. In fact, it seemed like that was the normal path of life. Right? People live in the world, they just think it's normal. This guy thought it was normal to get some help and ask an alms and receive a little piece of something from some of the people. But then Peter, when he fastened his eyes on him, he's looking right at him. Silver and gold have I none. You know, that would almost seem like it popped the balloon. Oh, he's looking at me. Oh, he's walking over toward me. I'm going to get my cup. I think he's going to give me something. The anticipation is building a little, you know. All right, I wonder when it will be. Oh, I don't have any money. Oops. Now, he doesn't really know these guys. The scripture doesn't indicate that he was familiar with them. He didn't call them by name, and they didn't know what his name was, and they didn't indicate that there was an association there. Such as I have, give I thee. We had a testimony of someone receiving the gift of the Holy Ghost, and it was a spectacular experience. Amen. There's people in our church that have received a spectacular experience with God. Amen. There is something very special about having a relationship with Him. Amen. There's people under the sound of my voice that you have no further questions on who God is. You know who God is. Amen. It's clear in the scriptures who God is. There's been a revelation, a lightning of my mind. There's a positive assurity in my heart. I know who God is. Amen. That's not a small thing. Amen. You see, Peter was like that. He knew who God is. Amen. And so he's given to him what he knows. He knows that in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, there is healing power. And I know there are people here, but just by the raising of your hand, do you know that Jesus Christ is the healer? Amen. Just about everybody in the house. You know that Jesus Christ is the healer. So you got what Peter had. Because Peter knew, not a question, not a maybe, well, sometimes he does and sometimes he don't, and I think maybe he can. No. It's, I know Jesus can heal. Amen. There's an excitement that raises up in you. There is a anticipation that I know God can do this. Amen. Such as I have, Jesus healed my body. I had a slipped disc. I was going to the doctor. He was doing, you know, I was doing physical therapy, you know, and they were, I was trying to keep out of the operating room. And, you know, anybody ever had a disc problem or back problem? Oh, 3, 4, 5, 10. Quite a few folks. But I know God can heal a bad back. Because God healed my back. Amen. I know that God can open blinded eyes. Amen. Because I prayed for my mom and my mom could see that morning when she woke up. Amen. I know that God heals broken bones. I've seen broken bones heal right before my eyes. I know that God can lengthen a leg. I've seen that twice with my own eyes. I know that God can raise people from the dead. I know people who were dead and came back to life. In this life. I'm not just talking about in the stories in the Bible, about the accounts. They're not just stories, they're accounts in the Bible. But I know people who have been raised from the dead. Amen. So the stories could go on and on and on. Lots of people in our church have been healed from cancer and healed from diseases and healed from depression and healed from, you know, diabetes. God is a healer. So I kind of feel just like I know what Peter was talking about. Peter was saying, such as I have, give I thee, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. Took him by the hand. It takes a step of faith to receive a miracle. It really does. When he took him by the hand and he kind of helped him, it's time to stand up. This guy has never stood up in his whole life. From birth. He's never stood up and did what he's about to do ever before. Now, don't give me that, well, I've never done that before. So what? God can do what you didn't do before. God can give you what you didn't have before. Rise up and walk. Gain strength as he's standing. I'm standing. Come on. I can just, in my mind, I got a vivid imagination. I got a vivid imagination. All right, you're standing. Praise the Lord. Come on and walk this way, holding him by the hand. He's walking. All right, I'm going to let go. Keep on. Come on. Praise the Lord. He's walking. Can you imagine what this man is thinking? What the guy who's been lame from the day he was born, who had never, ever in his whole life ever stood up or walked a step in his life. He can't breathe. He can't. Oh, man, I can't talk right. I can't. He's so excited. He's so filled with wonder. How is this happening? He's walking. You know, Peter, I can just imagine, because I've gotten excited a time or two when I see a miracle at the hand of God. You know, it's exciting to me. My excitement level just shoots up through the top of my mouth and my hands, and things just go crazy when I'm there, when the miracle is happening, and I'm rejoicing. I can imagine. Scripture doesn't go into all those details, but I got a vivid imagination. That there was divine joy. Divine wonder. a divine happening has just taken place. This man stood up and is walking. And then now, he had to walk first. How many steps do you think it took before he really could? You think one step? I think it took three. One step. Woo! Two. This is awesome! Woo-hoo-hoo! And pretty soon, you know, he's just flipping out. He's just going off. He's just walking and leaping and praising God. You want to go to church? Yeah! He's all excited. How many people get excited like that when they're going to church? I hope you do. You ought to. You should. Because God wants to do something very special. This account was very special. It was divinely orchestrated by God. God sent someone there that knew who he was, that knew that he was a healer, that knew that he is the Almighty God. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. You know what? You could do that. There's people here under the sound of my voice that absolutely, absolutely, positively, without any doubt in their mind, you know that Jesus is God. And you know that He is a healer. Such as you have. Okay, sometimes you ain't got no money. The other guy had the same problem. That guy really didn't need the money anyway. What he needed was a healing. What he needed was Jesus. You know, we get in our lives, we think we know what we need. Oh, I need $20 to buy the groceries I need. Well, maybe you need groceries. Time after time after time. You know, when my kids were small and I was new in the shipyard, I didn't make very much money. And, you know, I lived half a continent away from my parents. Both Jeanette's parents and my parents lived in Wisconsin, and we were in Virginia, and we were a long way. So we were dependent upon God. I tell you what, God healed our washing machine when we needed to wash the diapers. You chuckle. I see smiling faces. But if you got little babies and you can't buy diapers and you need to wash the ones that are dirty, that is an emergency. But God healed our washing machine. Jeanette laid hands on that thing. It's got to work. It started working. Praise the Lord. What am I going to make for dinner, Jeanette? I'm coming home. I'm driving an hour from work. I'm about to get home. And Jeanette's stressing over, well, what can I make for dinner? There's nothing in the cupboard. And payday ain't, you know, till the end of the week. Somebody comes to the door with two bags of groceries. I don't know about you, but I count that as a miracle. I know God supplies our need. And she didn't call anybody and say, would you please bring me some groceries? No, she asked God, please help me. And God answered. What we need is Jesus to supply our need. And I don't know that there has ever been a time, and there's been many times, that God has done a miracle in my life. That God has provided, you know, He's healed my body, or He provided my need, or He healed my sick baby, or He, you know, helped my weak body, or, you know, God helped me in so many different ways. It's unspeakable. I couldn't tell you all the wonderful things that God has done in my life. But every time, healing, provision, understanding, direction, all of them. there's a divine joy that comes with that miracle. I'm always glad to give God the praise. I'm always able to worship His name. Amen. Praise the Lord. Divine joy comes when God does the miraculous. Amen. It's always good. Every single time God does a wonderful thing, it's good. Amen. Mark, more scripture. Mark chapter 5. Go to verse 25. Begin reading there. And a certain woman, which had an issue of blood 12 years. Some people get sick for 12 days and it feels like forever. This lady's been sick 12 years at this point. Verse 26 adds a little more detail. And had suffered many things of many physicians. And had spent all that she had. And was nothing bettered, but rather grew worse. That's just insult to injury. You've spent all your money. You've went, you know, they used to, you know, George Washington died of bloodletting. Oh, he's sick. He's got bad blood. Let's drain the blood out of him. Guess what? You're going to die. You get an old-fashioned doctor and says, oh, I think we need to do a bloodletting. No, you don't. There's life in the blood. Amen. There's life in the blood. Don't let the blood out. Anyway, that wasn't part of my notes. Suffered many things at the hand of many physicians. Did not get better, but rather grew worse. Bad on top of bad. You know, there's people going through hard times in this life right now in our neighborhood. You know people who are going through a hard time. I've talked with people that I know, people that I love, even family members that are going through a really hard situation. Try to tell them about Jesus and how to get close to God, and God will see you through. God will bring you past this time of difficulty. God will supply your need. But oh, if they would only listen. You know that song we were singing? Where would I be? Where would I be? I know where I'd be. I'd be exactly where those that were next to me, those friends that I had, those family members that I had that didn't follow Jesus Christ, I'd be in their situation. It's not good, I can tell you that. But I'm blessed because I follow Jesus Christ. Amen. That much I can tell you. Verse 27, going back to scripture. When she had heard of Jesus, came in the press behind and touched his garment. This portion of scripture doesn't give all of the details, but when she heard that Jesus was coming that way, she had anticipation. She wanted to find him, to go him. She wanted to be able to touch him. She knew that Jesus Christ is the healer. She knew that she had faith that if I could just touch him. She had heard about people being touched by Jesus and being healed. In the moment, in the right now time. Miracles happening. Amen. She heard about the miracles and she desired, wanted to have a miracle. I know that she was thinking that because verse 28 says, for she said, if I may touch but his clothes. If I can just get close enough to touch his robe, the hem of his garment, if you will. Amen. I shall be whole. Now, what if there's a great big crowd all around him? What if you're way back in the crowd and Jesus is way over there and there's a whole bunch of people and these people aren't listening? I'm trying to push my way in, but this big guy right in front of me won't get out of the way. What if life is hindering you getting close to God? Other people can hinder you if you'll let them. Other people could discourage you. Circumstances may slow you down. But she had in her mind, she had in her heart, if I can just touch the hem of his garment. Well, what if she got down and, you know, went in between their knees and, you know, kind of ducked in and out and went down and under and through, and she made her way close, and he's right just steps away, and she's almost to him. She reaches way out and she touched the very edge, the hem, the bottom part of the fringe of his clothing. And she could feel it. You know what happens when every single time that I've ever received a miracle? I could feel it. I could feel it when I received the Holy Ghost. And that, couldn't you feel it? It's a great feeling, isn't it? When you, if you got back pain, if you have a slipped disc and there's pinches in your, it's like, I can't even really explain the pain of a back slipped disc. It's like, so I can't reach over to pick up that cup and it's 4 inches from my fingers. Excruciating. But when God healed my back, go down, touch my toes, reach my legs, jump and shout and walk and run, praising, leaping, worshiping God. I could feel it. When God does a miracle, you will feel it. Whew. This lady felt within herself the miracle that God did in her life. Who touched me? There's 1,000 people all around you. There's people pressing in on you. It's a tight, packed crowd, and they all want to be close to you. What do you mean, who touched me? Virtue has gone out of me. Somebody touched me with faith, believing that God will meet my need. And then when she knew she was not hid, that she couldn't hide in the crowd, that it was known what was done, she confessed, "It was me." I don't think I read the rest of this. Verse 27, when she had heard of Jesus, came in the press behind and touched his garment. For she said, if I may but touch his clothes, I shall be whole. And straightway the fountain of her blood dried up. And she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. I tell you, you will feel it when God does a miracle in your life. Amen. There is a feeling, amen, of there is a feeling of release when you repent of your sins. There is a feeling of release, of renewing, of refreshing. I've had people tell me that it feels like electricity. I've had other people tell me, I felt so light. I've had other people say, there's such joy. when they are baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. You will feel it when God does a miracle in your life. And I tell you, each one of those things is a miracle. Just like this lady getting her blood condition healed. It's a miracle from God. Verse number 34 in chapter 5 says, "And he said unto her, Daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague." She had a plague. A blood problem that could have lasted the rest of her life. And God healed her. You know what? This lady, I have to say, she had determination. She had an understanding. Jesus is the healer. Jesus is my answer. Jesus is what I need to get to. You know, people in our day also there are going to be people that understand that Jesus is the answer. No, they might still have a blood problem. They might still have a need. They might still have this problem. But they know that Jesus is my answer. Amen. And when you realize, you know, that's a revelation. When you realize that Jesus Christ is the Almighty God, that's not a small thing. That's a miracle. That's a miracle from heaven that He opened my understanding, that you know who God is. That, my friend, is a miracle. My wife, she wasn't always the Christian model of a woman until Jesus Christ got in her life. But she knew she wanted God. She just needed to know who He was. She just needed to have an understanding. She needed a revelation of Jesus. Amen. She determined, this crowd will not stop me. This big guy in front of me is not going to stop me from getting to Jesus. I'm just going to go around Him. You know, you got to determine in your life. That big person in your life, don't let them stop you getting to God. The whole crowd is around Jesus. Don't let the crowd stop you from getting to Jesus. Amen. There are some people, even claiming the Holy Ghost, that do not have divine joy. I tell you, when you receive the genuine gift of the Holy Ghost, there will be every time, always, in every individual, divine joy that comes from God. Amen. There is something powerful that releases something from your spirit unto Him that is explosive. And it is wonderful. It is glorious. Amen. If you've not received the gift of the Holy Ghost, maybe you don't understand what I'm talking about. But if you have received the gift of the Holy Ghost, you know what I'm talking about. It really is divine joy. Amen. Religion will not heal you. Will not deliver you. Religion will not save you. You need Jesus. We need Jesus. Amen. If you love the world, the love of the Father is not in you. 1 John chapter 2, verse 15. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Hold on. Wool coat is making me leak. I I want to love Jesus Christ. I don't have the love for those things that are in the world anymore. That's not what I want. In fact, it seems as though what I used to love, I now hate. It's repulsive to me. Amen. I don't even like the smell of cigarettes or marijuana or Jack Daniels or Budweiser. It just stinks, in my opinion. No, I used to like those things. Long, you know, BC. A long time ago. But it has become, it turns my stomach to even think about those things. There's no zero desire in my life for those things anymore. God changed me. I'm different because He's in me. The Great Commission. Let me go there. Mark chapter 12, beginning at verse 28. And one of the scribes came, and having heard them reasoning together and perceiving that he had answered them well, asked him, "Which is the first commandment of all?" And Jesus answered him, "The first of all the commandments is, 'Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. And the second is like, namely this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. There is none other commandments greater than these.'" Love Jesus, love His people. Amen. You see, any time we love something more than God, it's idolatry. I like fishing, but it doesn't come before church. No way. I like sports, but it cannot come before church. It cannot come before my relationship with God. Anything that comes before God is not good. Amen. Matthew chapter 20. Let me begin to read there at verse number 30. "And behold, two blind men sitting by the wayside, when they heard that Jesus passed by, cried out, saying, 'Have mercy on us.'" Do you think these guys were, "Have mercy on me"? No way. In my mind, according to my vivid imagination, these guys are screaming. These guys are hollering at the top of their voice, as loud as they can. They, in my mind, they're, "Have mercy!" They're desperate. "Have mercy on us, O Lord, thou Son of David." And the multitude rebuked them. "Calm down, be quiet, stop making a ruckus." Because, here's what it says, because they should hold their peace. That's what they're supposed to, not interrupt Jesus. Or so they thought, they should hold their peace, but they cried the more, saying, "Have mercy on us, O Lord, thou Son of David." And Jesus stood still and called them. They got His attention. How about that? Cool. You want God to do something in your life? Get His attention. Maybe it'll take crying out. Maybe it'll take worshiping Him. Maybe it'll take acknowledging who He is. Jesus! Oh, Lord! He stood still, called them, and said, "What will that I should do unto you?" You'd figure if Jesus Well, I know for sure. Jesus knew that the blind men were blind. Everybody in the crowd knew the blind men were blind. It was easy to see that they were blind. And yet, Jesus asked what they wanted. There's a principle there that's powerful. There's a very powerful principle. We need to ask God for what we need so that He can answer us. Verse 33, they say unto Him, Lord, that our eyes may be opened. So Jesus had compassion on them and touched their eyes, and immediately their eyes received sight, and they followed Him. It's not just get a miracle and go your way. It's get a miracle and serve God. Amen. Don't forsake the one that saved you. Don't forsake the one that healed you. Amen. I am so thankful for all those great things that God has done in my life. I am so thankful. I will forever be thankful. I'm right now thankful for what God has done in my life. Yes, they received healing. And can you imagine if you were blind and now you see? What do you think you'd be feeling? Divine joy. Joy that came beyond. I don't know how I can see, but I know that Jesus healed me. I know that, I don't know how He did it, but He did. Amen. It was divine joy that they received that day. Jesus passed by. Be careful now that you don't let your time with Jesus pass by you. Amen. I'm telling you, Jesus comes to church every time we gather. Amen. Jesus is here every time people are lifting up His name and giving Him glory. Every time we gather, it's in the name of Jesus. Don't let Jesus pass by. They yelled. They got His attention. They got a miracle. They received their divine joy. Let me go down again, Scripture. We have the hope that we have, the divine joy that is in us, is from the Lord Jesus Christ. It is joy unspeakable. It's full of glory. Amen. It's from God. Amen. Jeremiah chapter 17, verses 7 and 8. Blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord and whose hope is the Lord. For he shall be as a tree planted by the waters that spreadeth forth out her roots by the river and shall not see when heat cometh, but her leaf shall be green and shall not be careful in the year of drought, neither shall cease from yielding fruit. Tell you what, God can bring us through the ups and downs in life with no problem. Amen. God brings us through financial problems. You know, we were in a financial crisis when the pandemic struck. And people were staying in their homes and restricting travel. And there was all kinds. You remember that time? That period, God did miracles in our church. Amen. The banking crisis, they were tightening lending rules and they weren't wanting to give money. And you know what? God gave us this building during that time. Our giving didn't go down. The giving went up. It's a miracle. Amen. It's a miracle. Yes. Acts chapter 1. I got to hurry along here. Acts chapter 1, beginning at verse 8. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses of me, or unto me, both in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. Can you imagine seeing that happen? He's getting, he's off the ground. He's floating in the air. He's going higher. And pretty soon, he's way up and going into the clouds. Why stand ye gazing into heaven? Did you see that? They were looking up there to see if they could catch another glimpse of Jesus. This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. You know what? I have high anticipation of seeing Jesus arrive to receive his church. I know it's going to be just like the Bible says. We're going to see him. We're going to be changed in the moment and the twinkling of an eye. Our bodies are going to turn from mortal to immortal. We are going to turn from flesh to spirit beings. We are going to be changed in that instant faster than you can blink your eye. And we're going to see the fulfillment of these scriptures. Amen. Musicians, come. I got to wrap this up. It will be divine joy when we know we've made it to that point. Amen. I have high anticipation of seeing what heaven looks like. I don't know what a street of transparent gold looks like. Any gold I've ever seen, some is white, some is yellow, it's metal. But what does transparent gold look like? I don't know, but I'm going to find out. A wall so tall it goes up into outer space, 1,500 miles square, the holy city, 12 foundations, all of precious stones, gates that stand open all the time, made of pearl, light everywhere, a mansion with your name on it.
Oh, yeah.
Look in the closet for your shoes, and you don't even have to turn the light on because there's light everywhere. There's no shadows even in the corner of the closet. It's light because God is the light of that place. There is no darkness there. There is no sickness there. There's no discouragement there. Stand with me. I tell you, it will be divine victory when we finally make it there. Amen. I had in my notes, I wanted to talk about the day of Pentecost, the infilling of the Holy Ghost, and the people receiving this miraculous gift from God. They would talk about it one with another. Can you imagine them talking about the day of Pentecost? Man, 3,000 people. What a revival. What a inpouring of the presence of God. What a release of His Spirit. What great things that we'll be able to talk about. You know, I can sit at the table and expound on the things that, if you'll give me time, I could tell you about wonderful works that God has done in my life. Amen. I've seen them with my own eyes. Amen. I've had them in my own flesh. I know that my God is good. There is no mistaking the divine joy that comes from serving God. And yet, I know people that need Jesus. I know people that need a healing, that need deliverance, that need hope in their life, that need what Jesus has. It's available. It's ready. It's right now. It's for them today. There's people right now under the sound of my voice. You know who Jesus is. You know that God is a healer. I believe I'm talking to people that know who Jesus is. And you can have that miracle in your life right now. Every one of us, if I went for needs, there'd be hands up all over the place. But whatever, there is no need that's too big for my God. Can't be too big, can't be too small. Everything in between, my God is able. If you've got a need, be it small, God, I just need a little favor. God, just give me favor on my job. Just give me favor with my children. God, just save my family. God, just heal my body. None of that is hard for God. None of that is impossible. All of that is available. And when it comes with great divine joy. Amen. It's time right now. Would you lift your hands with me? In fact, this altar is going to be open right now. I invite you to come. Come and pray and ask God for that need that you have. There is a need that God can meet today in this place. There's a need that God Himself will provide for your miracle. Amen. Come. Let's pray. Let's seek His face. Let's